Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Senate Republicans' rejection of an effort to restore unemployment benefits to 1.3 million Americans who were cut off on December the 28th. Joining us is Thomas Herschel, who recently co-authored a report at the Associated Press on the widening gap of wealth inequality in the United States, where 4 out of 5 adults have struggled with joblessness and near poverty. 50 years after the war on poverty was declared, we will discuss the war on the poor by Republicans who have cut food stamps and unemployment benefits in an apparent effort to increase poverty in America rather than end it. Then we'll look into the efforts underway on Capitol Hill to sabotage the P5+1 diplomatic deal with Iran, with a new sanctions bill being pushed in the Senate by Republican Mark Kirk and Democrat Robert Menendez. MJ Rosenberg, a special correspondent for The Washington Spectator, who worked on Capitol Hill for a number of Democratic senators and House members for 15 years and also worked for AIPAC, the lobby behind the efforts to scuttle the deal, joins us to discuss what is driving Israel's defense minister to insult America's Secretary of State and why AIPAC is working overtime to kill Obama's diplomatic opening with Iran. Then finally, we'll speak with Bob Kincaid, the co-founder of the Appalachian Health Emergency Campaign and chair of the board of the Coal River Mountain Watch, about the broader environmental and health issues affecting the people of West Virginia beyond the current crisis over a chemical spill that has the nation's attention at the moment. Apparently, the 300,000 residents of the Kinawaha Valley are merely the latest West Virginia residents to be exposed to deadly toxins, which are routinely used across the state in mining and mountaintop coal removal. Joining us now is Thomas Herschel, the director of the Population and Development Program and a professor of development sociology at Cornell University. He recently co-authored a report at the Associated Press on the widening gap of wealth inequality in the United States, where 4 out of 5 adults have struggled with joblessness and near poverty. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Herschel.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And your report, by the way, has the full report come out yet?
Because I remember. No, it's a book that's in press right now. It'll be coming out April 1st with Oxford University Press.
Well, at the time that the Associated Press story came out, it shocked a lot of people that 4 out of 5 adults at some point had experienced near poverty and joblessness. Now, with what's happening lately with the Republicans cutting food stamps and now the Senate on Tuesday rejecting an effort to restore the cuts that came in on December the 28th put 1.3 million Americans out of luck as far as any income is concerned. What do you attribute this trend to, if you will?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the politics of the country, the way it's working right now, that we're sort of living in this American dream and in the true sense of a dreamlike state, and we're not really talking to each other about the experiences that we're having and our common needs to really not just rebuild the safety net, but rework how the economy distributes goods and services. I think if you look at the labor market in the country, around the year 2000, the percent of the population that's actually working as a ratio of the population started going down, even before the recession, and then it really dipped down when the 2007 recession hit. And I think that's reflecting technological changes and really fundamental things happening in our society, and so people are hurting. And this is something that's been going on for decades, since the 1970s. It's just becoming much more acute right now, where you have this situation of long-term unemployment. And I think it's really good that we have this radio show to talk about this, but we need to have new kinds of political leadership. I mean, I think it's correct that the Republicans are taking kind of the far-right position, but I think austerity is sort of wired into the DNA of Washington right now, that the money behind politics doesn't want to be spending it on programs that benefit the general public.
Instead of programs that benefit them directly. I mean, the guy that's pushing the deficit, the sky is falling over the deficits, is Pete Peterson, a Wall Street billionaire. And I, for the life of me, do not understand why he's on a jihad against Social Security, which has been the best anti-poverty program in the history of the United States.
That's correct.
What do these people want? Do they want more and more homeless, starving, and distressed people in the streets of America. What is their agenda?
Well, I think their agenda is that they have serious problems of spending $85 billion a month in so-called quantity, which is basically keeping the bond market alive so that interest rates are low so the economy can keep going. They're trying to stave off economic problems for themselves, and there's no effective political opposition from the average person in the country saying this is what we need. We need a jobs program, health care, all the things that people need, housing. Housing's become very unaffordable now for more and more people. There's all kinds of issues that people have that just aren't being voiced in the political system. And so this is really, it's really a social crisis for the society. I mean, the NIH recently found out, it's a very interesting statistic, that in 1,000 counties in the U.S. over the last 10 years, the death rate has gone up for women because so many men are in jail or they're fighting wars and they're not at home. And so the social stress, or that's what people think it is, that it's very unprecedented for the death rate to go up among women, who generally have better health than men. And I think it's kind of things are kind of at a breaking point, I think, for the country in terms of the way the common person is living.
So, again, Thomas Herschels is the director of the Population and Development Program and a professor of development sociology at Cornell University. He recently co-authored a report at the Associated Press on the widening gap of wealth inequality in the United States, where 4 out of 5 adults have struggled with joblessness and near poverty. And that, as he mentioned, will be coming out soon in a book. When you said we have to rethink the American dream, is the American dream a delusion then? The idea that we have upward mobility, that you can make it. If we have this statistic, which was not addressed by the Senate in 2 separate votes, that they didn't get the 60 votes necessary to overcome a filibuster to go forward on extending the unemployment benefits that were cut on December 28th that have put 1.3 million Americans out of luck with no income. And the point being that the long-term unemployment we have in the United States is still as high as it's ever been since World War II. There are 4 million people who have been out of work for 27 weeks or longer, and we know that others have dropped off the map as well, who simply aren't counted anymore.
Yes, I think the thing that people really there's a lot of things about the American dream. It has a lot of different components to it. It's kind of a mixed bag of ideologies. But I think the thing that people care about most is they want to be able to work hard and then in exchange for that derive some level of economic security. So, you know, a future for their children, a retirement, to be treated at work with respect, some very basic things that people want. The American people don't, it's very clear in the public opinion literature, they don't want to be rich. They just want to feel secure. And that's exactly what they're not getting right now. So that's a kind of explosive situation where the thing that people want most, the system isn't delivering to them. Even if they have a job, they feel, I mean, I've seen interviews where people say, well, I am the American dream, but I worry about my children, because they see that something's coming at them that's taking away their basic security.
So what, though, explains the callousness of people like the Republican lawmaker, the one particularly down there in Tennessee, Stephen Fincher, whose family farm has been receiving millions subsidies, and yet he gets up on the House floor and says that quotes the Bible saying if you don't work you shouldn't eat.
Okay.
And we know that the recipients of food stamps are usually single mothers who are holding down usually low-paying jobs and working hard and trying to navigate between whether or not to have enough money to pay for to get to work or to put food on the table. So I don't understand that attitude, and I don't understand the attitude of the Senate Republicans who are now accusing the Democrats of playing games. But at the end of the day, this is only $6.4 billion we're talking about here, which is nothing compared to the federal budget.
That's right. That's right. I think people are seeing things from their point of view, and there's no center of gravity for people to relate to have discussions about what are the real solutions to the issues that people are facing in our society right now? The fact that technology is very rapidly doing away with the kind of jobs that the unskilled and semi-skilled, even some of the skilled jobs that people have, are being done by computers now. And I think that we need to really rethink what it means to work and what it means to contribute to society. But we're not doing that because the society is the people that have the most the interests that are strongest, are most decisive on politics are the interests of money. I mean, campaigns. The last presidential campaign was over $1 billion in total expenses, and that's so the economics of the rich getting richer and the rest of us not going anywhere. That's being reflected politically. So those the kind of statements you're talking about, Ian, which I think are outlandish, really reflect there's an economic base for that, and that there needs to be some new kind of politics in the country. And the Democrats aren't really set up to oppose what the Republicans are doing, and a lot of that comes out of the South. I mean, there was, you know, a very important thinker in American history, W.E.B. Du Bois, talked about how, you know, Wall Street controls the South and the South controls the country. That is, the influences of the South and the conservatives, they come from the same corporations, just that the corporations have more power down there because of racial disenfranchisement. And that's been really, the brake on that has really been taken off by the Supreme Court with the amendment to not enforce, or the decision not to enforce the Voting Rights Act. So I think we have an extreme situation developing in the country that needs to be addressed with some new kind of politics.
Well, you appear to be talking, Thomas Herschel, about a new kind of feudalism here. Is that what you're saying?
That's a good term.
Right. Because I know that the billionaire investor Warren Buffett has warned that we are rapidly becoming a plantation economy, which, of course, has echoes of the South. So just explain that further, though.
I think that you have, like in the state of Georgia, the Republican Party has a supermajority in the state legislature, and they're able to, using GIS software, manipulate voting districts so that they're able to gain power at the expense of the poor and the minorities in the South, and to use race as a way to divide the popular vote and to gain power. And so money has more sway over the South than it does over the rest of the country. And it is kind of like, it does reflect the history of the country and the distance between social classes, which is, you know, there's always been a more poverty in the South, for example, even though there's more opposition to programs that would help the poor in the South. So those kind of contradictions are really a very central part of American history. At the same time, you do have social movements in the South, Moral Monday and in North Carolina, for example. So people are standing up and saying, we're against this, they're taking action. But there's not a real discussion going on in the country about the importance of that and how to sort of build on it.
Right, and the southern states are, of course, so-called right-to-work states, where unions are basically have little traction, and where foreign companies are being invited in to build, Mercedes, Volkswagen, BMW.
That's right.
And the Japanese cars, et cetera, at the expense of the northern unionized factories up in Detroit that produce American cars. So
that's right. I mean, the automobile industry is not centered in Michigan anymore. Is between Atlanta and Mexico City, where it's in the South or it's in Mexico a lot. Mexico is one of the biggest exporters of automobiles now, where labor is cheaper and labor unions are much more politically handled more effectively by corporations. So I think you have just a really, the world is changing very rapidly, and it's hard to keep up with it.
Well, but as a political issue, which it would seem, given what just happened with the Republicans' vote in the Senate, the two votes, and, of course, the Republicans accusing the Democrats of grandstanding and making an issue out of it, and perhaps the Democrats are putting them on the record, as Harry Reid says, this is how you're voting,
Right.
He says, the question is, are Republicans filibustering unemployment benefits? Are they not? And they clearly are. So,
they are.
So this is what seems to be going on as a political maneuver, that the Democrats are trying to get the public's and the press's attention that the Republicans are at war with the poor, which certainly appears to be the case. Now, in Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, apparently on a right-wing talk show in Kentucky, where he's running for re-election, and he's considered to be vulnerable, he made a joke about extending unemployment benefits. He laughed about it, and that's given his Democratic opponent, Alison Grimes, an opening where she's going to town on him. So my question is to you, Thomas Herschel, is there enough compassion in this country left for people, the majority of the American people, to take the side of the Democrats on this, that indeed we should be taking care of our fellow Americans who are having a temporary problem here and for no fault of their own need some help, and that they and this idea that they don't want to work and they don't want jobs is really quite a cruel hoax, given the evidence.
Definitely
that's out there.
People want to work, and I think people do understand that. I think that the idea of individualism, the kind of ideological platforms that people are using to defend their behavior, those are also part of the way that people think about their society, and I think that there needs to be more discussion about this. There's not a lot of it's hard to educate, given the dialogue that's going on. It's hard to make progress, because if the dialogue starts from the far right, it's hard to go anywhere unless you have something coming from, a very strong opposition. And my feeling is that in some ways the Democrats, they're not able to really provide the opposition that's needed to the kind of austerity that's emerging out of Washington. And I don't know what to say about that, except that I think there needs to be a new kind of politics. That's what I keep talking about.
Well, just in the last minute or so, what would the new kind of politics be?
I think it has to be something about social class, that there we need to have someone who's looking at things from the point of view of people that work, and that there's a separate program, not just about the safety net, but about the way that the economy is organized and managed. If there could be some, for example, nationalizing the energy industry as a way to begin to deal with the environmental issues and not leave it in private hands anymore. I think that we need to start thinking about that, because we have these examples of private enterprise just not being able to effectively change, so that we're taking care of the environment. Questions like that are more radical solutions to the problems we face.
Well, Thomas Herschel, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me in.
Again, I've been speaking with Thomas Herschel, who's the director of the Population and Development Program and a professor of development sociology at Cornell University. He recently co-authored a report at the Associated Press on the widening gap of wealth inequality in the United States, where 4 out of 5 adults have struggled with joblessness and near poverty. And that study will be coming out as a book very soon. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about efforts on Capitol Hill to kill President Obama's diplomatic opening with Iran.